Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." And jumping to verse 20, "Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." Heavenly Father, once more we open your precious book. And Lord, as a minister of the gospel, I claim ignorance. I claim inability. I claim no goodness, no talent. Lord, if you don't help me, then truly I have nothing to set before the people. Please help first me, the preacher. Give me understanding. Strengthen me by thine hand. And Lord, for the people, as always, I pray that you'd help them and comfort them. Please speak to them and be with them. And Father, we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've pretty much studied everything in this chapter except the three verses that I just read. We've seen how Daniel was praying and fasting. It says in verse 3, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." And we saw how Daniel was visited from heaven. And we took quite a bit of time discussing exactly who it was that visited him. Some say that Daniel was visited by the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. But I'm not sure that that's correct. Some say that it's an angel, and that I believe is the correct interpretation, but I may be mistaken. But at any rate, Daniel is praying, seeking God, for 3 weeks, 21 days. And then this being, this angel, comes to him. And as we just read in verse 12, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." You began to seek God, Daniel. You were praying for understanding. You wanted to know what these visions were about. And God heard your prayer in the very beginning, day one. But 21 days later, here I am. Now, there's a lesson there, I suppose. In the New Testament, we read of the widow and the unjust judge. And the lesson is about importuning prayer. Many Christians, they pray a little bit, one time, 2 times, a day or so, and they give up, and they wonder why God doesn't answer their prayer. But that story that Jesus gave us says that the widow had an issue. She had a problem, and she went to the judge, asking every day, "Judge, do this thing for me." He was an unjust judge. He didn't care, the Bible says. But she came every day asking, or every time she was in town, whatever the case was, she went by the judge's office and said, "Judge, do this thing for me." And finally, he got tired of seeing the woman's face. He got tired of hearing her voice. And he said, "I'll do what she says. I'll grant her what she asks." And Jesus says that we should be like that widow. Now that's an unjust judge. God is the judge, but He's just. He defines justice. God is good. God loves us. Jesus said to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." God loves His children and wants to help them. And if this unjust judge who didn't care can be bothered and goaded and pleaded with and annoyed, perhaps, into doing what the woman asked, then when we go to God, certainly our Heavenly Father, the one that loves us, will grant the request of His children. We should importune in prayer. We should not give up. We should continue to pray until we have an answer, however God chooses to answer. Because God loves His children, and it says in another place that it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But this heavenly visitor comes to Daniel and says, "God heard your prayer 3 weeks ago, and here I am. You were asking for wisdom, for understanding, for help with these visions, and I'm come to give you understanding." But the reason for the delay, in verse 13, it sounds a little strange perhaps, but this is the angel from heaven, the visitor from heaven, and this is the answer that he gives. And we have to take God or His angel at His word. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Again, this is very strange terminology. We have a visitor from heaven saying that he was sent when Daniel began to pray, but it took 3 weeks, 3 weeks, before the visitor could make it. And it says that he was withstood by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, we've been studying Persia, we've been studying Babylon through this book, the book of Daniel. We know the king of Persia. It says in verse 1, "In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel." We know that Cyrus, the king of Persia, was kind to the Jews. But it says in verse 13, the angel says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Again, very strange terminology. This is an angel from heaven. How could a man sitting on a throne stop an angel? I don't understand it. But you see, he's not talking about Cyrus, this prince of the kingdom of Persia. It's not a human, but an evil spirit, a demon or something of that nature, a fallen angel or something. And we've touched a little bit, I guess a few months ago. We took a look at Satan, how he works behind the scenes. I took a bit of time and gave a few scriptures in Isaiah in Jeremiah and other places perhaps. I want to take just a little time to review very briefly. Turn with me quickly, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 14. When we looked at this before, I took more time, but very quickly. Isaiah 14, verse 4. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the rulers. The prophecy is addressing the king, the human king of Babylon. But then, in verse 12, he's no longer addressing the human king, but the angel behind that king, doing evil, or inspiring him to do evil. Verse 12, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And I'm reading the King James. If you have some other translation, it may not say that. But how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And it goes on a little bit, and we get an idea that he's talking also, speaking to the Antichrist. And I misspoke before, not Jeremiah, but Ezekiel, chapter 28. We find a similar situation where God is speaking, or the prophecy speaking, to a human king, and then some being behind that human king. Some evil spirit that works behind human kings. We as Christians, we certainly ask for the help of God. This preacher, I want the help of God. Jesus said, without me, truly, you can do nothing, and that's the way I feel. I need God's help. I can't preach the gospel without God's help. But you see, there's a battle going on between God and his people and his angels, and Satan and his people and his evil angels. Those that follow God try to do God's way, God's will, etc. They try to follow God. They work on his side. But those that reject God and hate God, they, instead of following God, they end up doing the will of Satan. And I won't spend a lot of time on it. But it's a fact, and if you want to have some sort of philosophical discussion, have it. I'm not going to be in it. But it's a fact that Satan exists. You can look in Genesis chapter 3. We find the fall. And we find that Adam and Eve were tricked by the serpent, yes, but it was Satan acting behind the serpent, speaking through him, telling him what to say, inspiring him, what have you. God had said, do this, don't do that, and in particular, don't eat the fruit of that tree. But Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan and ate the fruit of that tree. And all of the heartache in the whole world, the disease, the famine, the war, all the troubles that we have in the entire world are as a result of the fall and the disobedience in the garden. There's a great battle between good and evil, between God and Satan. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, or sat down to supper, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a great commission. We know that Christ came into the world to save sinners. He died on the cross, as I've preached, and I'm so glad to say it. I preached the cross. I've preached it so many times, and I'm glad that I have that message. I'm glad that I preach sound doctrine centered around the cross of Calvary. But Christ went to the cross and poured out His blood for the remission of sins. He sacrificed His body, and by His stripes we are healed. He rose up from the dead, and 40 days later, He went to heaven. You can read about that in Acts chapter 1. But it's our job as His ambassadors to tell everyone we can that good news, that God loves every man. Yes, there's judgment coming, but God provided a way to escape that judgment by sending His own Son, His only begotten Son. That's our job, to preach the gospel. We have the Great Commission. God chooses us and calls us to partner with Him to fight for the right, to fight on God's side, not with swords, but with words and deeds and good works and love. As I said, there's this great battle between good and evil, and if we're on God's side, we'll tell others about Jesus Christ and what He's done for mankind. But He said unto me, going back to Daniel chapter 10, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. I just described the battle, and I just described our part, preaching the gospel, praying for the sick, counseling those that have gone through some trouble, etc. That's our part in this battle. But there's an unseen part, an unseen battle, things going on that we really don't understand. But this angel from heaven, sent by God, and we know angels sent by God speak the truth, he claims that the reason why he was delayed 3 weeks was that he was withstood by the prince of the kingdom of Persia, some evil spirit. Daniel prayed. God pointed his finger at this angel and said, Go to Daniel. But this evil spirit, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood him, hindered him for 3 weeks. And during that 3-week period, it says that Michael, one of the chief princes, the archangel or something, came to help the angel that visited Daniel. And they fought for 3 weeks. Now, I confess, I don't understand that. I'm a mere mortal. I see things. I think things. God reveals things by His word to me. Fine, I understand many things, but this I don't understand. But it's written in the word of God, and His word is true. Therefore, I believe it. In verse 20, it says, Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now I will return to fight again with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grisha shall come. The prince of Grisha, some other evil spirit. This angel fought for 3 weeks with the prince of Persia. Then he's going to go back and fight in the heavenlies, the unseen world. And then the prince of Grisha shall come. Now it's interesting to note that he's fighting with the prince of Persia, and then later he says the prince of Grisha shall come. This book repeatedly gives a sequence of kingdoms. Nebuchadnezzar, thou art this head of gold, and then Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome, and then the kingdom of the Antichrist. It says in verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. So this chapter is written during the kingdom of Persia. This angel fights with the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and then later on it says, when he goes back to fight, that the prince of Grisha shall come. And we know from history that after Persia, Greece arose. So we know that this battle that was fought in the heavenlies had to do with prophecy, or history from God's future point of view. Now, if you would, please quickly turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember, we're sent in love, not with swords, but with prayer and sacrifice. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul paints a wonderful picture. He describes a Roman warrior, but then he says that it's all a symbol. The breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. He describes a soldier, and we're soldiers in God's army. But he says that our weapons and our equipment are symbols. Again, we're Christians, and we don't fight as soldiers do. We fight on our knees. We fight pleading with someone about their soul. We fight perhaps staying up all night with someone that's sick or in the nursing home. Unfortunately, there are various books and a few teachers that make more of this than they should. There's no question that demons exist. There's no question that there's evil in the world. And in Daniel we see that there's a struggle, an unseen struggle in the heavenlies. Unless God gives us understanding, there's no way for us to know if there's a struggle involved that we don't see. But again, there are those that make too much of this. Our work is to do what God said, to preach the gospel, to be kind, to be friendly, to be patient, etc. We're not told, and again, the Bible does not teach that we're to have any kind of warfare with things that we can't see. We're not to address demon spirits that we imagine are there. We're not to bother ourselves with territorial spirits or any such thing. And again, You can go to the bookstore and buy these books and learn all of this stuff. It's all conjecture. It's all imagination. We would do better to study what we do have and we do understand. We should strive to be like Jesus Christ, and we should work to tell others about him. Paul gives us this picture of this soldier, and he shows us the symbols, and he maps the soldier's weapons to ours, which is faith and truth and righteousness, etc. And then Paul says, "And as for me," in verse 19, "as for me, that utterance may be given unto me." In other words, that God would give him something to preach, something to teach, "that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Just as in Acts chapter 1, the apostles said that we don't have time to wait tables. We don't have time to give food and clothes to the widows. Let's set some deacons. Let them do that work. But we will give ourselves continually to the Word of God and to prayer. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.